A change of scene, change of mind, a change of pace, change of time, change partners, changing the guard, won't mean a thing without a change of heart. Change, change of heart, change of heart. Let it be, oh, let it start. Lord, bring it now before it come apart. Change a thing without a change of heart. We change the laws, change the rules, change the government, change the school. But the more things change, they stay the same. Without a change of heart, in Jesus' holy name. Change, change of heart, change of heart. Let it be. Lord, bring it now before we come apart. We can't change a thing without a change of heart. Change, change of heart, change of heart. Let it be, oh, let it start. Lord, bring it now before it come apart. We can't change a thing without a change of heart. We can't change a thing without a change of heart. Just can't change a thing without a change of heart.
Dear Lord, now I've got this problem. Seems it increases every day. Seems the more that I try to follow you, the more the price that I pay. Now I've got friends who will sit and judge me just for being your kind of man. Out of spite, some bite and backstab me just for doing the best I can. Take Brother Bill. Now he is such a gossip. From what I hear, it's widely known. And Brother Bob, why, he's so fault-finding, I had to call him on it right over the phone. Pastor Lieberwitz, he's a hypocrite. Lord, won't you make him see his sins? And won't you save me from the likes of those who call themselves Christians? Lord, won't you save me from a few of your followers? I can feel them creeping up and closing in on me. Lord, won't you save me from a few of your followers? And take the log out of our eyes so we might see. Now you've saved me from temptation and all the wiles of worldly wealth, from the trials and the tribulations I usually brought upon myself. And you've rescued me from conspiracies that were planned to harm and hurt. Now won't you save me from the elders who conspire down at my church? Lord, won't you save me from a few of your followers? Now I can feel them creeping up and closing in on me. Lord, won't you save me from a few of your followers? And take the beam out of our eyes so we might see. Now the adversary, he is subtle, and he wears a slick disguise. And he's always causing trouble, finding specks in people's eyes. It's when he wears the robes of heaven is when he acts the most like hell. But the one that he resembles most is the one we call ourselves. Lord, won't you save me from a few of your followers? Now I can feel them creeping up and closing in on me. Lord, won't you save me from a few of your followers? And take the plank out of our eyes so we might see. And take the beam out of our eyes so we might see. And take the log out of our eyes so we might see. Dear Lord, I've got this problem.
My searching begun in a land bleached by sun, far from the highland snow. 'Twas there that I read of the plight that they fled and the reasons they had to go.
Far, far away.
Swept over the land, not a crofter or wife remained. The sure-footed feet of the chariot sheep had trampled the highland plain. Now gone is the highland.
Fallen waves of fallen skies wander through my open eyes, where the plated lines adorn aging beauty of the worn. With each wrinkle of the brow, morning isn't present now. With each lingered lick of light, autumn leaves its scented night. Other moments have despaired to recover what they've bared, but will never, once begun, hearkened back to early sun. So it should, with all below, fall to grace, to gray and snow, bow to brittle and descent, when the fear and fire's spent, giving way to glistening on the face of everything, every tear a diamond paid for a blossom once displayed, owing to a beauty cast every morning come and past. Every rise and set we've shared as the crimson braided hairs, fallen softly to adorn round the lovely face of morn, over deepened eyes of night, knowing more in heaven's light, over curve and cut of youth, sinking sweetly into truth.
Who has shown me finer things than I'll ever know? blossomed in eternal springs, fallen with the snow. Shuttered as the window pane chilled the marrow through, emptied in the summer rain, sprinkled with the dew. Landed on the moistened ground, lighted nearest me. When an angel comes around, how am I to see? Or perceive the rarer form, or discern the tides, edging with the coming storm where desire hides. Hide me in thy holy hill, surely under wing, for I'm but a creature still, knowing not a thing.
There ain't really nothing wrong with your woman at home. Just a guess, really long to feel young again. So you're spending your nights chasing honky-tonk lights. That's a real good way to wind up lonesome. You're living your dream, running through your veins, and living beyond your means way too fast. Thinking the fountain of youth is filled with gin and vermouth. Well, that's a real good way to wind up lonesome. You can only leave her lonely for so long. She'll go looking for someone to fill the nights when you're gone. So go ahead and press your luck. Go on and live it up. That's a real good way to wind up lonesome.
The battle, what prize has been won? When dark clouds surrender, when the storm is undone, will you stand there shining in the light of the sun? Are your motives worthy? Are your motives true? Are you doing things you would have done to you? Are you really proud of the things that you do? Will you stand there beaming when your life's finally through? When the dawn is just breaking at the end of the night, will you still have freedom? Will you still have rights? Were you proudly hailing through the perilous fight? Did you hide in darkness or try to shed light? When the curtain is closing and your life passes by, will you pleasantly smile or will you break down and cry? Will you honestly say you gave life your best try? If there's a reason for living, did you ever ask why? When the dawn is just breaking at the end of the night, will you still have freedom? Will you still have rights? Were you proudly hailing through the perilous fight? Did you hide in darkness or try to shed light? As you passed through life, did you seek to grow? Did you hold on tightly or did you let it all go? Did you look for truth or did you not want to know? In the final assessment, you will reap what you sow. In the final assessment, you will reap what you sow. In the final assessment, you will reap what you sow.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 28th day of November, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Judgment Comes. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Kumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. The Daily Mail page on that website is where we have current event information, also links to articles dealing with health issues, prepping, organic farming, naturopathy, and guns and ammunition, among other things. The homepage is where you get information on how to help us out financially if you feel so led. And also, if you do not have my personal contact information, there is a page entitled Contact Us. If you're looking for information about these programs, as far as the schedule and how to log on and all that, you go to the Listen Live page. Remember, our Heavenly Father will never take you where the grace of our Father will not protect you. Before I get into some of the more pressing matters, I remember growing up on the farm, we used to talk about the way things happen in threes. And ever since, just before Thanksgiving, my brother was telling me on Route 75 in Central Florida here, Route 75, just north of him, a sheriff's deputy was run down during a traffic stop, I believe, on 75 and was killed. But nothing in the local news about it. I heard it on the radio as well. And then just the other day, on the southbound side, just south of where he lives, there was a car sitting in the median that was entirely engulfed in flames. And again, very little to nothing about it in the local news. Kind of strange. Two significant events on a major highway in that locale and almost nothing in the news about it. And then down this way, just yesterday, let's see, what is today? Oh, yeah, today's Monday. So yesterday, right here in our community, one of the mobile homes, there was a noise, and it just got engulfed in flames and pretty much went up in smoke in a very short period of time, and there was a fatality in the home. And, again, not a whole lot in the local media about it. So it's just kind of strange, things happening in threes. There were three significant accidents, two of them for sure fatalities involved, and there could have been easily one with the car that was engulfed in flames. Strange things going on. Again, judgment comes because we deserve it. Just as it was in the days of Noah. We were screaming for Yahweh's judgment, and so we are today. And so we're going to talk about some different verses that discuss that topic. Also, some of the revelations during the past week when my access to the internet was severely diminished, only to be restored yesterday. So I took advantage of that time, and it was a much-needed rest. I do apologize for the inconvenience. Tonight we're doing what would have been done on Sunday morning. To our good friends over on Telegram, the Florida Gators, apologize for the fact I wasn't there for the Sunday morning meeting. And hopefully some of the guys can come on and listen tonight. If not, there'll be the archive. But the Florida Gators and some other folks have been discussing the purchasing of property here lately. That topic has been coming up more and more in the various circles that I communicate with. One of my children is in the process of moving south as we speak. And there are people in this area moving north. So possibly Yahweh is opening doors for some things to happen. We'll wait and see on that. We're certainly anxious for that. Many of our people want to get away from these Babylonians, these zombies out here, the mask-wearing, vaccinated automatons, morons, cucks, snowflakes, whatever term you want to use for people that have no balls and no brains. Unfortunately, there's a lot of them. I don't believe they're the majority as far as the good people, because you can't trust the so-called figures that the mainstream puts out there. But as you and I walk the streets, we can attest to the fact that there are quite a few people with... I just noticed my recorder shut off, so not sure why it does that. Okay, sorry about that, but I had to start the recorder again. Funny thing, these electronics, that's another thing I've noticed over the past week. Electronic stuff is, like, acting very weird. Phones doing things that they shouldn't and not doing things that they should. Computers, the same thing. Laptops, the same thing. Tablets, same thing. Just very, very strange how that happens. But again, people that have been affected by this whole nightmarish situation. And again, why judgment is coming. Judgment, actually, if you think about it, has already started. Again, if you have no faith in common sense, no faith in the natural world, no faith in our Heavenly Father, then you will run to the sorcerers, to the false prophets, just as it says in Scripture you would do. Because your so-called watchmen on the wall, your preachers, have let you down. They are prostitutes. They are whores. They've sold out to the beast system, and they're not telling you the truth. So you can't go to them for answers. You can't go to the mainstream media, obviously. You can't go to centralized government. They're all communists. Centralized banking, same thing, all part of the communist takeover, the Bolsheviks, Jews, whatever term you want to use for them. And I don't want to get caught up in this thing. People say, well, you can't condemn them all, Dan. Well, okay. Let's take the other story that we've got out here. Let's see. Are all black people causing problems in our society? No, that's true. They're not. But enough of them are that it would behoove the white race to exile blacks out of our lands. Send them back to where they came from. We don't need them. We don't need them. The white race does very well all by itself. So send them where they came from. Again, it doesn't mean that they're all bad, but enough of them cause problems that white societies start falling apart when you bring black people into them. Same thing when you bring Jews or Arabs or brown races into our mix, or even the yellow races. Again, nothing against them. They have a right to existence. They just don't belong in our society. That's all. They don't belong in our government. They don't belong making decisions in our corporations, in our courtrooms, on our media, on our entertainment, in our sports. None of it. None of it. And for those naysayers out there, well, Dan, you sound like you're a racist, Dan. Well, you call me any name you want. I really don't give a damn. All right? I grew up in an area of the country that was predominantly white. I played on football teams, baseball teams. I played basketball in gymnasium. I wrestled. We played volleyball, all kind of different sports. And it was almost all white. We did really well. So don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I grew up in a society that was predominantly white, and it was beautiful. Far from this chaos and dystopic mess that we have today. And I will say that most of my adult life, I've been preaching that this is a disaster. Especially since my 30s on up into the present time. I've been screaming from the rooftops. I've been banging the drum, the warning, blowing the trumpet. This is not where we want to go. But nobody listened. What do I know? I don't have PhD after my name for piled high and deep, meaning bullshit. Educated idiots have degrees and credentials and letters of the alphabet after their name. Well, if you want to follow educated idiots, then go ahead. It's your prerogative. You can do that. We'll see how that works out for you. You know, there's a scripture that says that Yahweh will use the unlearned or the uneducated to confound the wise. People with credentials, people with degrees, people with higher education. He will confound them with the baser, less, quote, formal educated people. You see, you can get an education in many ways. You don't have to go to universities and colleges to be educated. My father, for one, was a self-taught engineer. And he made it all the way to the corporate headquarters for Owens Corning Fiberglass, and he was in charge of 200 degreed engineers. And yet he did not have a degree himself. Again, proving that you can have the wisdom, you can have the education to get the job done without a formal, quote, degree. I myself have worked at the Department of Energy for the United States, and I've worked in the nuclear power field as a engineer without a degree. In fact, the Bechtel Corporation has a category for that. They call it a non-degreed engineer. They actually have a, what do you want to call that, a status position or a part of their organization to where that is a category for people that they expect that there will be people that are non-degreed engineers. But you see, it requires being able to think outside the box. If I told my friends that, well, even my family and people I know, well, you can get education anywhere as long as you know what you're talking about, people will hire you. Oh, no, no, they got to go to college. Even all my kids. Our children must go to college. Really? Except my one son. He's homeschooling his children. But even in the family, with all of the ranting and raving that I've done for decades, they still parrot the party line that you have to get yourself a degree. They're going to spend tens and tens of thousands of dollars to get a degree. Why? Why do we do that? Why do we not listen? Why do we not think outside the box? Why do we not trust our Father in heaven? Again, why judgment's coming? Because you're violating His law. He said, trust me in all things. Did He not? Yes, absolutely. So this desire for land and to be separated from these zombies and from this New World Order dystopic world, many of our people, and I'm really, really happy to say, like I said, the Florida Gators, who are National Socialists, and they're in contact with good men and women of the white race all over the earth, and they know the identity message. They are believers in our Father. So people out there say, well, you can't be both. Yeah, you can. Just talk to the guys, like I said, the Florida Gators and all of the associated groups with them. If you go to their Telegram channel, you will see that it's linked over to, like, European Heritage. And there's many others. I can't think of them right offhand, but if you go there, you'll find that they're linked to them. And again, these are our people, sons and daughters of the Most High, sons and daughters of Adam, the white man. And now they are getting the whole message because they obviously know the racial aspect of what's going on, but now they understand the missing piece, which is the hole that we all carry within our chest, within our hearts, the hole that is in there that only our Heavenly Father can fill, the hole that is there until you acquiesce to the person that you should, which is our Creator, our Father, and not a man-made government, and certainly not Jewish-controlled government, Jewish-controlled banking, Jewish-controlled medical mafia, Jewish-controlled corporations, etc., etc., etc. Okay? These are the enemies of Christ. By their own admission, by the way, Isn't it interesting that if you are in a court of law and you admit to treason, by your own volition, you admit to treason, no trial is necessary? I wonder if that applies to Jews who get on talk shows and radio broadcasts and have websites and petition our Congress to swear loyalty to a foreign power. Those are all overt acts of treason. Is a trial necessary? I'm just curious. Since the corollary to that is if you or I go into a courtroom and admit treason, no trial is needed. Would that apply to these imposters, these Revelation 2:9 creatures that walk amongst us, who pray the Kol Nidre prayer every year, saying that any oath that they swear is null and void? Yeah, that's a question I've always asked. Maybe you guys could help me out with that. How do we have judges, lawyers, policemen, Congress people, military people of the Talmudic Jewish faith who pray this prayer that their oath means nothing, and yet they all put their hands on, I would hope, a Bible, and swear to the Almighty that they'll tell the truth, and they pray the Kol Nidre prayer every year that says any oath that they take like that is null and void, because the only oaths that matter are oaths to each other, fellow Jews. An oath to a non-Jew carries no weight at all. So here are these Jews. But Dan, there's good ones, really? That's funny, because at the synagogue, how do you tell the good ones from the bad ones when they're all down at the synagogue praying the Kol Nidre prayer together? Do they wear different colored yarmulkes? Do they put different colored bands around their wrist? How do you tell the good from the bad while they're all reciting the Kol Nidre? Does some wise ass out there want to answer that for me? I'm just curious. How do they do that? They must have, like, supernatural power. They can tell the difference. And if there's all these so-called non-violent, non-destructive Jews walking around amongst us, then where do I go to their website where they're denouncing these communist, antichrist, Kol Nidre praying Jews? Because if they're, quote, good in the eyes of the Almighty, wouldn't they denounce these satanic, evil Jewish supremacists? Wouldn't they? I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. Maybe you could help me out. Wouldn't they, like, put together, like, committees and websites and make speeches about the nasty, satanic, human flesh-eating and enslaving and organ-harvesting and poisoning through the pharmacies and the food industries? These monsters in shoe leather that walk around, wouldn't they be denouncing them? You know, I've looked and looked. It's really hard to find them. I'm just saying. So again, in the discussion of how racial issues should be handled, you don't go on the premise that, oh, there may be 2% or 1% that aren't involved in these Luciferian demonic activities. You don't separate that way. If you have a alien people amongst you, and any of them practice this, then the alien must be isolated from you. Now, common sense and rational thinking says that, but so does Scripture. In the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, where the law is given to us, It states that racial aliens are not to have political power amongst the Israelites, the Adamic white man Israelites. People who love our Heavenly Father obey what He told us through the prophets. Aliens are to have no political power. Aliens are not to interbreed with our people. We're not to have them teach us anything. I'm hoping the white race, from what I'm seeing, is finally waking up to these things. I pray before I leave this world, I'll see it start to turn around. At least within the circle of people I know, it is starting to turn around. Praise Yahweh for that. Actually, we should praise Yahweh for all things that are good in this world, because without Him, none of us, and that includes me as well, would be any more than filthy rags. The Apostle Paul, I will agree with him on that one. We are mere filthy rags compared to our Father. Our works, our so-called good deeds. Without the leading of the Holy Spirit, we'd be just like everybody else. The only difference between us and everybody else is that there are a select group within our race that listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I got news for you. A lot of our people ignore it completely, if they do hear it at all. And there's a group of our people, people with our DNA, you know, the ones out there wearing diapers on their face, the ones out there sleeping with black people and brown people and yellow people and Jews. Yeah. They have the DNA, but they do not have the connection to our Father. You can't. You can't be connected to His righteousness and perform and do these abominations against our people and our Creator. You can't do it. They're lost. That's why Christ said, when the apostles said, well, why do you preach in parables? Because there are those here who are condemned already. And he was talking about brethren, amongst our brethren. And you and I know them. We walk amongst white people. You know them. You've seen them. They're gone. They're lost. They're hopeless. No balls, no brains at all. Quite sad. I'm going to keep repeating Henry David Thoreau because this is the crux of our problem. There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who is striking at the root. And again, what is the root of all of the machinations going on in this world, all of the nefarious activities being done by these bad actors? The root is Judaism. The root is Talmudic, satanic Judaism. And the money that they control and they use to promote godlessness. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Basically, woe to those who call things what they are not. Woe to those who twist and turn things 180 degrees out. Namely, I was born a boy, but I can be a girl. That's 180 degrees out. I was born a man, but I can sleep with men. I'll marry another man. Again, 180 degrees out. I was born a white man, and I'm going to sleep with non-white people. 180 degrees out. Yahweh's law is only applicable in a few cases. Man's law is much more important. 180 degrees out. As William Blackstone very clearly stated over and over again. Any law created by man that is counter to the laws of the Almighty is no law at all. Jeremiah, in chapter 4, at verse 22, had this to say, "For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are foolish children. They have no understanding. They are skillful in doing evil, but they do not know how to do good." Go in our universities, go into our agricultural departments, go into our science buildings, go into the administrative building, go into the banking industry, go into corporate America. I've been in all of those. Evil. Very few know how to do good. I met a young man years ago as he was coming out of the apartment next to mine in Michigan. And he was there visiting his in-laws who lived next to me. And he was an officer from the Pentagon. I believe he had the rank of captain, but I don't remember. In the Army. And so when I came out of my door and saw my neighbors, they introduced me to the young man who was married to their daughter. And they said, you know, this is our son-in-law, blah, blah, blah. He works at the Pentagon. So I said, really? So I looked over at him and I said, I'll bet that's a scary place. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, it is. And they had told me he was a believer in the God of the Bible. So I looked at him and I said, how do you deal with it? He said, some of us do the best we can. Some of us. You could tell by the way he was talking, it was not the majority. So as this verse says, most do not know how to do good, but they are skillful at doing evil. Look at how many countries America has sent its young men and young women in battle to destroy millions of souls and steal untold amounts of natural resources from countries, all at the behest of our Jewish masters. How many innocent people have died so that Jewish corporations like BlackRock can get filthy rich? We were led down the path by our ancestors over 100 years ago when we allowed the bankers to take control of our money. And now it's even worse than that, thanks to Trump with the CARES Act and different things like that. You know, it's kind of funny. You know, they keep telling us here in Florida that Governor DeSantis is this great guy, as if he's going to save us. I hope you people know that he's just Trump 2.0. He's being groomed to take over for Trump. Trump was hailed as our savior. That hasn't worked out too well. And so they've got a 2.0 version of the White Knight. But like Trump, DeSantis has never met a Jewish ass he didn't enjoy kissing. So I'm still waiting for somebody to explain to me how that works. How is he going to save Christian white America from anything when he is a loyalist to a foreign power? How does that work? Does he like throw the dice, and if it comes up even, he'll do something good for white America, and if it comes up odd, he'll do it for everybody else? And at all times, his Jewish masters can override even the dice? like with Trump and all of the other presidents, Republican, Democrat, or whatever, doesn't matter. So how does that work, really? Okay, all the libtards out there that told me Trump was going to save the day, really? So he had 4 years. What the hell did he do for us? He made sure the blacks and Latinos practically run South Florida, but what did he do for us? Oh, could it be that that's because he has no loyalty to the Adamic race? I'm just asking a question. And the same thing if DeSantis gets in there. The only reason he's doing any of the stuff that's commonsensical here in Florida is to create the image that he will be the white man's hope, that he will be the savior of our republic, when he's already shown that, like Trump and all the rest of the occupants in the whorehouse in Washington, again, they've never seen a Jewish ass that they didn't want to kiss. So again, I'm asking, how is that going to save us from anything? How is that going to make this a better world? How does this promote the God of the Bible and the Messiah that they detest, that they denounce, both in their writings, in their speeches, and in their holy book, the Talmud? How does that work, really? How does the Christian church turn a blind eye to this invasion of these aliens by race and by doctrine? How does that work, all you preachers and pastors out there? You want to explain that to me? How does it work when you turn a blind eye to what these monsters are doing? How does it work when you sit there in your pulpit and say these are God's chosen people and they denounce the Messiah that you claim to preach about, that you claim is your Lord and Master? Wasn't it that your Lord and Master who said you can't serve two masters? You have to choose one. You can't serve two. And yet that's exactly what they want you and I to believe, that they can serve two masters, the Jews and the founding fathers of this republic. You can't do it. They're diametrically opposed, just like communism and the republic that this was formed as. They are two diametrically opposed forces. They cannot coexist. How does that work? I'm still waiting for an answer on that one. Hebrews 9, verse 27, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah, Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Well, wait a minute. Does Paul know what he's talking about here? Well, wait a minute. Works is dead. You don't have to worry about works. Just profess Christ and all's good. You can sit on your ass and not do anything about the destruction of this world and the demonic forces and the insidious things that they do. You don't have to do anything. You're saved. And yet right here in your precious New Testament, written by your precious Paul, nonetheless, he says here that you're going to receive your judgment based on what you did in your body. Does that kind of remind you about the verse that says that, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only? Sitting in a church listening doesn't do a damn thing to make you a better person or this a better world. It's why the world is upside down. Where's the church world been? Where's the mainstream church world? The identity people, right alongside the National Socialists, are trying to be proactive. They're trying to raise a banner to get your attention, to tell you these simple truths. Most of you don't even give a damn. That's true. But at least they're trying. Because we know that we will stand in front of our Father in heaven on that day, and we will have to give an accounting for our lives. The men and women over with the National Socialist groups, they are actively trying to save the white race, just as we in Identity teach the truth of the Bible, in the effort to try to save the white race. And you say, well, Diane, shouldn't it be all about God? Because, you know, God just loves everybody. Well, that's funny, because in the book of Matthew, Christ himself said, I came but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't say I came for the world. Those words didn't come from Christ's lips. Now, some translators tried to put it in the modern English in such a way as it would sound that way. But when you go back to the original Greek, you soon find out that Christ never said that. And it makes perfect sense, because up until the modern era, white Christians didn't feel it was their job to convert everybody. It was their job to tell the truth. It was their job to try to mitigate the hunger and disease and poverty in this world as much as they could, but not to take non-Israelites and make them Israelites. You can't do that. You can't give non-Israelites the covenants and the promises. You can't do it. They're not part of the family. But here again, we consider it our duty, which is why Adam kind was put here, to tend the garden. We are here to implement Yahweh's law amongst all of the creation. And because Adam kind is sitting on his ass and not getting involved in all that, thanks to the mainstream church world that has seduced them and put them to sleep, especially the most hideous of mainstream churches known as the Roman Catholic, absolutely the most insidious and hideous group of so-called Christians ever. Now, I will say that there is a rebellion that I've detected of late within the Roman Catholic Church, and there is a group within that church that now realizes that this Pope, a Jew, is an Antichrist. And so, of course, is the Jesuit Pope, the Black Pope, a Antichrist as well. And they realize that the teachings of the church are now opposed to the teachings of Messiah. And hallelujah for them. So there's a battle going on in there. So again, there are some who are willing to take a stand in the flesh and do worldly works to make this a better world by denouncing the works of Satan's kids. Now remember, the word Satan comes from Shatan in the Hebrew, just as devil comes from Diablos in the Greek. They both mean an adversary. Has nothing to do with supernatural. Okay? It has nothing to do with that. That's why the Apostle John said that there were many antichrists already here in the world during his day 2,000 years ago. Meaning there are many adversaries. And if you're a white man trying to save the white race, you know damn well what that means. There are many Diabloses. There are many Shatans or Satans. There are many adversaries to those trying to do justice in this world or to tell the truth or to save the white race from obvious genocide. I mean, you got to be a complete retard not to see it. I'm sorry. And there are a lot of retarded people, especially in this day and age. Whether it's because of vaccinations or poisons in the water, poisons in the food, poisons in the brain, poisons in the schools. We got poisons everywhere. So it's very difficult to see through the fog. But here again, Yahweh can conquer all things. If you are seeking the truth, if you're seeking to do justice and do the right thing, you don't think our Father can help you through all that? He sure as hell can. I know for a fact the blessings I've received in my life are due to my obedience and faith in my Father above. And that's it. It's not by my works. It's not by my mental abilities. My only reason for any successes at all is by listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's what distinguishes those who succeed versus those who don't. And again, measuring success as our Father would measure it, not as the world. The world measures it in how many dollars do you have in the bank, or how big of a yacht do you have, or how big of a, do you have an 8 or 10,000 foot square foot mansion? That's how the world judges. I have none of those things. And to be quite frank, I'm kind of glad I don't, because then they sort of take over control of you. You start stressing them and trying to hang on to them, and often it will be the leverage the Jew and his minions will use against you. I mean, look how many people put a diaper on their face knowing damn well it doesn't work, and knowing that it is hindering the flow of oxygen into their body, completely unhealthy. And yet they did it simply by threatening their financial well-being. That's all it took. That's all it took. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before Yahweh comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness. Okay, so why? Okay, don't bring the judgment before the time when he comes, because when he comes, he will expose that which is hidden in the darkness. And he will disclose the purposes of the heart. In other words, what's the motive? Then each one will receive his commendation from Yahweh God. See how that works? Yahweh, it doesn't say bright, smart, Adamic men and women are going to figure this thing out. It says Yahweh is going to bring to light the hidden things. Hallelujah. And it's happening right now. We're living it. Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. Wait a minute. This can't be right. Wait a minute, I'm saved. I said the sinner's prayer down in front of the altar. I had elders from the assemblies of God pray over me and knock me to the ground so that I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't be judged. That's what the Baptists told me when I was there. It's what the Methodists told me when I went there, or the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, the Roman Catholics. All of, this can't be true. The book of Revelation is obviously false, because it's everyone's going to be paid for what they have done. Now, the corollary to that goes without saying. You will also be judged for what you have not done. In other words, your actions, your deeds on this earth, most certainly are going to have a lot to do with your judgment day. That should be obvious. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which Yahweh, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. We're also going to notice that there's a lot of verses that we're going to talk about here saying those who come through this fire were those written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's in many verses. So it isn't what the church teaches. You need to read the books. That's another thing. I saw a meme right before airtime that talked about the fact that it's not necessary to burn books at this point of history. as the ancients did many times, to hide knowledge. You don't need to burn books today because most people don't read them. I know that for a fact. Most people don't read anything anymore. They've become so lazy, they don't know how to read. And they don't want to read. They want everything in video form. They want a soundbite or a YouTube video to tell them. Tell me what it means. I don't want to read it. I don't want to have to do any investigation. I don't want to have to even think about it. You tell me what it means. That's how the church world pulled the wool over the eyes of we the people, the congregation sitting in those whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Revelation 13, verse 8, "And all who dwell on the earth will worship it," talking about the beast, "everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain." So here again, whether you're in the book or not is very important. Lamb's book of life. Revelation 11, verse 18, "The nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth." Rewarding your servants, the prophets and the saints. Remember what it says in Scripture also, that he reproved kings and princes, saying, "Touch not mine anointed saints, and do my prophets no harm." See, the world wants you to think Yahweh forsakes his people. And yet Psalm 91 and here in Revelation 11 says quite the opposite. John 7, verse 24, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right or righteous judgment." That's another reason we're in big time trouble. We've lost our moral compass. We're no longer Rhadamanthine men and women. Let's see if I can get one more here. Oh, yeah, here again. Your works don't matter. It's what they tell you, right? Yet Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak." Every careless word they speak. And we'll go to Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Now, who's teaching lawlessness? Now remember, when the Bible speaks of lawlessness, it's talking about God's law. It doesn't care about man's law. You have to get that straight, first of all. Does not care one jot or tittle about man's law. So he says, "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." So that's your what? Your deacons, your bishops, your preachers, your elders, your congregation, because they teach lawlessness. They teach race mixing's okay. They teach the Jews are God's chosen people when Christ said they are of their father, the devil. You see, the mainstream Christianity, the mainstream churches, for the most part, are the workers of lawlessness. because they want to go along to get along. We want to tell everybody that it's okay, whatever you are, gay, transsexual, transgender, or in between, or if you want to identify as a tree, or a rock, an animal. Again, this dystopic world is unbelievable these days. Unbelievable. Let's see, I wanted to try to get one more in here. Revelation 21:4. I ended on a good note here. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Now, many of the people that I talk with refer to this current world that we live in under the firmament as the death realm, because everything that lives, lives because of the death of something that was alive, whether it's vegetation, trees, or animals. Their death is what provides you life. It's the death realm. And eventually, your death will be part of it. So, a time is coming when all of this death realm will be no more. There'll be no more needing for it. There'll be no more decay of the body, which is where the pain and the crying and the mourning come from. There'll be no more need of it. This death realm serves a purpose. You can't get away from it. I like the vegans out there, the people that say, well, I'm not going to eat anything with a face on it. But you'll eat a plant. Plants are alive. Tell me a plant isn't alive. It most certainly is alive. It may not walk like we walk. It may not speak. It may not have a brain that we are aware of. But tell me they don't live. I just did a bunch of trimming on bushes and everything, and within a week, big old thick limbs I took off of these tall, 12, 13 feet tall bushes. So there was big thick roots and big thick limbs of these tall bushes. Okay? Chop them down to about 4 to 5 feet. So you can imagine, not many limbs with any kind of green on them. And yet, there were at least 6 or 7 I saw this afternoon with little shoots coming out of the bark and little green leaves on them, getting ready to grow new branches to start all over again. And you're telling me that's not alive, that that doesn't have some form of intelligence, that it knew that it had lost all of its leaves, that those branches were gone, destroyed, and yet it has enough reserve energy and intelligence to start new branches with new leaves, so that it can survive. It most certainly is alive. So all the vegans out there that, well, I'm not going to eat meat, I'm not going to eat an animal, blah, 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 because it has a face on it, blah, blah, blah. You're just as much of an eater of dead things as we are. It's unfortunate, but that's the world we live in. It's the death realm. Praise Yahweh, the day will come when, no, the death realm will no longer be needed. Think about this. If you were the creator of all things, you had that kind of power that you could have created this world that we live in here, this firmament, and you can't create it in such a way that there's clean energy available without the killing of plants and animals. Sure, he could. There's a purpose to this, and we will find that purpose out. This world is not meant to be eternal. It has a death realm. All things here have a finite amount of time that they are to exist, because that's the realm under the firmament. That's the rules. The day will come when that is no longer true. By the way, a buddy of mine who's a retired chief petty officer from the Navy just called me the other day. He said, Dan, I just listened to an interview of a lady that's 104 years old. I said, wow, 104 years old. That's pretty amazing. So she's lived, her entire life has been lived with the Jewish takeover of this world. But the thing that she was being interviewed about was the fact that when she was a girl, so this is in the time frame of the 1920s, just short of 100 years ago, that when she was a girl, she was taught that the earth is a plane and we live under a firmament. That's what she was taught in school and she was taught at church. I said, you're kidding me, really? They're making it out like, you know, Copernicus was the destroyer of the idea of the flat earth. And according to this lady, in this interview, she goes, no, when I was a girl, that's what was taught. That was only 100 years ago, less than 100 years ago. The other interesting part of the interview was the fact that when the interviewer said that right now the people that are getting into the flat earth theory is becoming viral, that there are many, many people now starting to talk about the shape of the earth and where we live, she started to cry. And he said, why are you crying? And she said, thank God, finally. Because it had bothered her all these years that what she knew as a girl was being told was a lie, and they brought in this whole globe earth thing, which is an attempt to destroy the need for God. Because if you live under a firmament on a flat earth, how do you deny a creator? How do you do that? Just asking the question, but I thought that was very interesting. This retired chief petty officer also told me that, whether he discovered it himself or somebody had told him, I don't remember, but he was saying that along with what this lady said, somebody had looked into the Encyclopedia Britannicas that are archived, and they agreed with what this 104-year-old lady said, that when they went back to the period of time when she was a young woman, Encyclopedia Britannica, which was the probably one of the most used and respected books of knowledge, even when I was a boy, Encyclopedia Britannica was considered the pinnacle, that in there they talked about the ice wall and the firmament and the plane of this world. So once again, we know that history has been rewritten and basically destroyed and created anew using modern methods by our adversaries. They've created a whole existence that actually did not exist. They've created a world where you're told that for hundreds of years our ancestors poo-pooed the idea of a flat earth. And yet the evidence is saying something quite different. Now, whether you're an adherent to that or not is not that important to me. I'll fellowship with you whether you believe it or not. But the point of it is, we often talk about on a daily basis how these predominantly Jewish forces have been at work destroying historicity and replacing it, much as the Jew, William Casey, who was the head of the CIA back in the 1980s, William Casey said it, we will know. Listen very carefully. We will know that our disinformation campaign is a success when everything the American people believe is a lie. Now, that's William Casey, 1980s, head of the CIA, which is an intelligence organization that has been run by Jews from its inception, and William Casey himself, Jewish, obviously, admitting that they have a campaign of disinformation that's goal is that everything you and I were taught, everything you and I believed to be true, was actually a lie. Hallelujah that Yahweh has decided it's time that the hidden things become known. Okay? That's where we're at. It's time that the things that have been hidden from us, the lies and the deceptions, be exposed for what they are. Again, for those who are cramped for time, I highly recommend the Psalms and the Proverbs. If you don't have a whole lot of time for the reading of Scripture, and I know a lot of you are pressed because of economic hardships and different things like that, or maybe just lack of interest to read all of the Scriptures. But I would say that it's very important that you read the Psalms and Proverbs. Not for so much that you're going to become better educated, but because those are the words of wisdom, praise, and encouragement, which we all need right now. I know for a fact that when I walked through the valley of the shadow of death back in the 1990s, that's a long story, as soon as I got home from work, I was a contractor, so I was living out of a motel room. As soon as I would get off work, I would skip dinner, I would go straight to my room and grab my scriptures, which at that time was the book of Yahweh. And I would put Carl Klang and Jonathan David Brown as music while I read the works of Bertrand Comparé, and read scriptures, and particularly the Psalms and the Proverbs. They kept my spirits up. They gave me the drive I needed to keep going because it was a very dark period of time for me. So I'm passing it on to you that you might be going through those kind of periods yourself. Grab the Psalms and the Proverbs and tell me that they don't encourage you as you read those, particularly Psalm 23, Psalm 91, Psalm 149, and there's a host of others, host of them. The other things that are being revealed, of course, right now is the whole coronavirus thing is a hoax. The Holocaust is a hoax. 9/11 is a hoax. World War I and World War II did not happen the way we were told. And all wars are bankers' wars. I was contacted by Miss Elka, and many of you know who I'm talking about, Gary and Elka out in San Diego. Apparently, Gary has been admitted to the emergency room. They believe he may have had a stroke, and Elka is coveting prayers. So please keep her and Gary in prayer, and that Elka is able to get legal help to be able to have access to Gary and be by his side as they both want, but the, quote, authorities have stepped in and are keeping them apart. That's another long story. So suffice it to say that just keep them in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with each other. We thank you for all the wisdom that you've imparted to your sons and daughters, for the courage to do the right things for the right reasons, for the discernment that we can see through the lies and total bullshit that's out there today. We also pray that you would raise up men, real men, for these times. There are so few of them. And raise up real women. There's also few of them. You had a remnant in the days of Noah that you saved, and you said this would be like those days. We pray for that remnant right now, Father, as we seek to come out of this Babylonian hellhole. We pray for one of two things. One, that you come and we end all of this. Raise up your sons, your warriors, and let's bring this whole New World Order crashing down. If it is not yet time for that because of your plan, then we ask that you would help us to separate ourselves from these monsters, that we could live simple lives in fellowship with each other on the land, learning how to grow things the way you intended, to raise our animals properly, to eat real food, drink clean water, and fellowship with one another as it was meant to be from the beginning. To that end, we ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do. Forgive us our sins. Guide us that we would know who's true and who is not. Help us to vet those who are unworthy from amongst us. Forgive us our sins. And always, Father, we ask that you would protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Hallelujah.
So now we've moved away, far from our glen and hill. We're on the ocean bound, for a new land yet still. I miss my people, I miss my place of birth. Yet sail with you, I will go to the ends of the earth. In 1817, Nova Scotia was home. St. Anne's and Bannockburn, Cape Breton Island we roam. And then we found ourselves in 1852. About to sail again across the blue. South Seas land.
Sail away, thick and thin in every vice. Standing in the winner's circle has its price. I have learned to fight the good fight to the end. And if I had to, I would do it all again. And when the sun goes down, I won't feel the night. I will keep my head toward the sky.
Stand beside you through thick and thin. Now there's can always count on me. Just take my hand and I'll do what I can, 'cause you know that I'd do anything. Stand beside you through thick and thin. You know I'd stand.